Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 5 through 8, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace and your mercy, and we thank you for your loving kindness, God. Lord, we're asking now, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church, and we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, One God and One Mediator. One God and One Mediator. And so we're going to see through the Scriptures how good God is and that we serve one God. Can I get an amen? There's not a multiple, there's not three gods, there's not all the religions of the world that claim to have a God. And if they do have a God, it's a small little g, meaning there's millions of little gods around, but there's only one God that created all things, who created us, and who spoke everything into existence, and the same God came down and died for us. Can I get an amen? So let's read verses 5 through 8. And allow the Holy Ghost to take us where he needs to take us tonight. For the Word of God reads, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." Verse 7, "Which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth." Verse 8, "I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Amen? So let's go now back to verse 5, and let's ask God to speak to us tonight regarding these verses of Scripture. And it reads in verse 5, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." We're going to look at that portion in just moments from now regarding being ransomed. But these verses of Scripture basically identifies and points out three types of points. Let's look at the first one right up here. There is only one God. Can we truly believe that there's only one God? You see, saints, Judaism and Christianity shared the common belief that there is only one God, in direct opposition to the Greek and Roman pantheons and to the polytheism of the surrounding nations. What does that mean? That means there was many nations, many different ethnic groups that had all kinds of gods. They had a god for the sun, they had a god for the water, they had a god for the food. And so whatever they saw, they made it an idol and it became a god. But the Scriptures are clear. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6 and 4 right up here. Moses was given the instructions from God himself. Why? Because Moses wrote the first five books of the Old Testament. And here in the book of Deuteronomy 6 and 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel." In other words, open up your ears. Open up your spiritual ears. The Lord our God, the Lord is what? One. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Jesus said the same thing. And praise God, aren't you so blessed that you don't have to adhere to 614 of the Old Testament laws? You know why? The Bible says if you break one, you broke them all. But Jesus said, all the Old Testament commandments hinge on two verses. To love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. All the Old Testament commandments and laws hinge on those two only. But look at verse 7. Moses went on to instruct the children of Israel, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. I don't know, but if you know what a Hasidic Jewish believer is, it's called Hasidic. Well, when you go to Israel, you see a whole bunch of them. They have the black hats with the curly cues, and they have the black outfits. Okay, those are Hasidic Jews, okay? Now, did you notice that you shall bind them around your hand and on your frontlets of your head? Well, they have that walking around, and they have this kind of looks like a band around their hands. Well, this is what's instructed by Moses. But see, in our dispensation, in our time of grace, we are in the church age. God has written his commandments on our heart. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed? Amen. They're written in your heart. They don't have to be on your forehead or wrapped around your hand. It's written in our hearts. Praise God. Look, Isaiah, he's a major prophet. Did you know that in the Old Testament, there's major and minor prophets, but they all have the same authority? But Isaiah is considered a major prophet. I mean, if you were to read Isaiah from front to cover, it's almost like reading the Word of God, meaning Genesis, Revelation, because he talks about the crucifixion. He talks about the laws of God. He talks about the second coming. It's all there in the book of Isaiah. But he testified in chapter 43. Look at Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, no shall there be after me. Now, did you catch that? No one made God. He was already there. And there's no other God that's going to come after him. God already, before he spoke the whole entire universe into existence, before he formed you and I, he already existed. This is amazing. For those of you that have not maybe have seen this. And look at this. Before me there was no God formed, nor there shall be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. So you can go to the heathen gods, and guess what? A lot of them are just stone images. They don't have ears. They don't have eyes. Some of their human gods are still in the grave, and their bones are rotting away still. But Jesus is the only one that rose again. Can I get an amen? Come on. And look what it says in chapter 45 of Isaiah, verse 4. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you that you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me. Isn't that a blessing? Listen, before we got saved, we didn't know who God was. And yet, he already existed. The Word of God was already in place. The grace of God is that when we got saved, he opened our eyes and he gave us ears to hear. But he was already in place. This is not something new. God's word was forever settled in heaven before he even spoke the entire universe into existence. Look at verse 6. That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. God makes, he creates calamity. Did you know that? It's like, oh my gosh. I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Oh my gosh. Wow. And then it also says in the New Testament, look at 1 Corinthians 8:4. Therefore, concerning the eating of things offered to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is no other God, what, but one. Come on. You know, there's doctrines out there, you know, that think that there are three different gods, you know, like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No, all three are one. It's one God that has manifested to us. Thank God that he sent Jesus, because Jesus, now, he was tangible. The apostles could touch him and feel him, yet he was God in the flesh. Look at our second point up here, number two. There is also one mediator who can reconcile God and people, which is Christ Jesus. Jesus' blood is the only thing that could redeem, to redeem someone like you and I. And for thousands of years, did you know that when Jesus went to the cross, and when he died on the cross, the Bible says he went into Sheol, not to hell where it's burning and fiery, no. It was a holding tank where all the believers of the Old Testament were, and he came and he preached to them. And many of them finally saw who the Messiah was. And so they were escorted into the presence of God. Isn't that something? That was God. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a what? New creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, all things are of God. Here's the key. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. There's no excuse for you not teaching and preaching someone the gospel. Why? Because now we are reconciled to God by faith. So in return, we should be pointing people to the cross and say, man, if God saved me, he can save you. Can I get an amen? Look at verse 19. That is that God was in Christ. So God was in Christ. God was in a physical body. This is not a figment of someone's imagination. No. He was in an actual body. We know this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And look at the good news here. This is why the Bible is called the good news. Look at this right up here. Not imputing their trespasses to them and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Aren't you so blessed that when you came to the cross, he says, well, you know what? I'm going to forgive you for this and this and that, but I'm going to hold this still against you until you get it right. That's not how he rolls. That's not what's written in God's word. When we came to the cross, he eradicated every sin. Can I get an amen? Past, present, and even the future. It doesn't give us license to sin, but what it does, it causes us to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Because when you fall in love with him, then you'll have a consciousness to not to want to break his heart. It's a love affair. It's not about do's and don'ts. I mean, I went to a church where, man, you had to look a certain way, dress a certain way. You couldn't put this on. You couldn't wear this. You couldn't, brothers, you better cut that facial hair. It was like, well, wait a minute. And then if you didn't obey, then in their mindset, you're not saved. No, I asked this question. Who put the robe on you? Who gave you the throne seat so that you could call that out? It's religion. It's religion. It's called religiosity. Meaning a man made up. They conjured it up. And you know why they do those things? To inflict and impute fear upon them. To try to keep them. Man, we're supposed to be walking in faith. We're supposed to be walking with Christ. Man, Jesus says, come as you are. I'll clean you up. Thank you, Lord. Sisters, you know, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you know that when you look in that mirror, you'll check yourself at the door. That's right. If you're living right, living holy, no one has to tell you, man, you know, that's a little low there. No. Man, you'll clothe yourself in God, in Christ and his righteousness. That's right. Same with the brothers. You know, coming in with skin tight. Remember that song, Skin Tight? Okay, some of you don't remember that one. I do. Come on. I'm telling you. At one time, I was part of a religious organization, and all that brought was condemnation every time I missed the mark. The Bible says we are no longer in condemnation. No longer. We're free from death, hell, and the grave. We're free from condemnation. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at this. That is that verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are what? Ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. You know what? When you are considered now an ambassador, all that means in layman's terms, you are representing Christ now. Wherever you go, people need to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. But if you're living like them, and you're hanging with them, and you're doing the same things that the world normally does, you got to say, man, is Christ in me? Now, God won't condemn you, but there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation comes from the devil. All he does is point your sin. Bam, 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 bam. God convicts and says, hey, wait a minute. You're going a wrong road here. Take my path. Where there's mercy and grace. Where there's redemption. Where there's love. Where there's restoration. Where there's reconciliation. That's the road I want to take. Can I get an amen? You get on that other road, man, as soon as you stumble and fall, you'll keep running away from God. And God is saying, wait, if you stumble and fall, run to me. I shared this before, I'll share it again. I remember my first pastor, he shared with us when he was about 7, 8 years old. And back then, it was called a switch. Is that what it's called, a switch? It was long, and if you got hit by that from your mom, man, it'll put a welt on you. Oh, yeah. So every time he disobeyed, she would come after him and whap, and it would hit his leg, and he would cry. But he figured something out. He shared with us that, okay, there was one time where he blew it, and here comes the switch. Here comes mama. Now, he knew that the further he ran from her, the thrust of it would hurt even more, because she was coming with it like this, swinging it. He learned a valuable lesson. Instead of running away, he would run to her, and he would latch onto a leg and start crying out, oh, help me, no, please. And so when she tried to spank him with that, there was no more force behind it. So then after him weeping and crying, she'd drop it and she'd pick him up, and then she would restore him. Are you catching this picture here? That's how we are to run back to God when we miss the mark. But there's people, man, as soon as they get offended in church, as soon as they get hurt, as soon as they sin against God, they want to keep running. And God is saying, where are you going? Come back. I didn't chase you away. Come back. I have something I need to share with you. There's something I need to correct in your life. Don't run away. But they run back to the enemy's camp. Look at this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we walk a life full of faith. We're supposed to have faith walking. And no matter it comes our way, we're going to trust and believe God. God, you got this figured out for me. If I try to figure it out, I'm going to go crazy. Just, whoa, whoa. I need you to fix these things in my life, God. And he does. He wants to fix all things. He wants to restore marriages. He wants to restore children. He wants to get people off of drugs and alcohol. But you got to just surrender to him. That's the problem. No one knows how to humble themselves and say, God, fix me. How many can honestly say he's working on you? Come on, he's working on all of us. Hey, we haven't arrived anywhere. Can I get amen? We're achieving. We're pursuing him. We're running toward the mark, but none of us has arrived. So we can't have authority over anyone because we're trying to make it in too, every one of us. And so Jesus also said, and this should clarify all other religions in the world. Just show them this scripture right up here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So if you're knocking at Buddha's door, you're knocking at Confucius' door, you're knocking at Allah's door, guess what? There's no one home. There's nobody there. You're talking to a ghost figure. There's no tangible nothing there. Oh, but when you call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, he will show up. Why? Because he cannot lie. He's not like a man that could lie. Saints, even Muslims, they also believe that there's only one God, but they differ in how he makes himself known. Now, the Romans were praising Caesar as their God. So there was a whole bunch of gods during this time. But there's only one God that can save. Can I get an amen? Okay, now let's look at our third point. Our third point right up here, he gave his life to purchase freedom. What? For everyone. For everyone. Everyone. Anyone who comes into the saving knowledge, anyone who repents. Look at Acts 20:28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased what? His own blood. You see, unless you're washed in the blood, you just have religion. You have not entered in. And look at Ephesians 1 and 12. How many love the Word of God? Thank God we're not up here giving you fairy tales or opinions or a humanistic point of view. We're getting the Word. Amen? Look at Ephesians 1 12. In him you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. So, you have heard the word of truth. Meaning, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. The gospel of your salvation. In whom you also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of what? Promise. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. To the praise of his glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that the guarantee that God gives is eternal? You know, if you buy something at Walmart, it's only good for about 30, maybe 60 days. It's a limited guarantee. But nowhere do we find that our salvation is limited. Can I get an amen? God did all the work on the cross. And listen, here's the thing that most people have a problem with. Before you came into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we were all wretched and entrenched in sin. Come on, for me, I was. For some of you, you too were. You also were. We all lived a life of debauchery. Okay, so now, he calls you, he saves you, he clothes you with his righteousness, he cleanses you with his blood. He restores your life back to him. You have now bridged a relationship with him. Now you're connected with him. He brings you to the cross. It's all done at the cross. You're eradicated. But other religions believe, okay, but he can just still throw you away. Well, wait a minute. He already knew your faults and failures before you came. So he's not a God that's going to play mind games with us. He knows we can't save ourselves. He knows that we need him. He knew already that we needed a savior. So what, he's just going to use you and then toss you back out? What kind of faith and hope do we have at the cross then? See, he's not like a man that thinks like us. God is a God that has already made up his mind that when he called us, he will save us and he will keep us. Can I get an amen? We can't keep ourselves. Come on, our minds are filthy. All day long, we got filthy thoughts, we covet, we want something that we still have that nature. Yet, let me just ask you this. Let's just say the rapture took place and he came and took us home. And let's just say you had one covetous thought in your mind during that time. So, because you had that thought, he's just going to now toss you. I'm sorry, you nullified your salvation. Man, he's covered that in his blood. Aren't you so blessed to know that? But religion will say, you blew it. You're not worthy. No, well, none of us are worthy. But he, hallelujah, he's the one that has bridged our life back to Christ. He's the one that has saved us. He's the one that has covered us. And are we going to live a perfect life as a Christian? No. Do we want to make mistakes? No. Do we want to walk in perfection? Yes. But will we obtain perfection on earth? No. We are perfected every day by him. Are you guys are you getting this, what I'm saying? Look at this. Because God's word is true. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So if we think that we can work this salvation out with our own righteousness, think again. We need him every day. We need him to cover us every day and walk worthy of the call. Can I get amen? Because none of us deserve this great salvation, but since he chose us, we have to believe that he's going to take care of us and watch over us, even when we fumble the ball. Saints, God is holy. He's sinless, and he's morally perfect. Look at Ecclesiastes 7:20 right up here. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. Show me one who don't sin, and I'll bow down and worship him. And so the only one that you could bring to me is Jesus. That's it. Only Jesus. Look at Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Oh, man. So how do we become holy? Through his righteousness. Through his grace. Through his mercy. Through his blood. You see, an unbeliever cannot claim this. An unbeliever still walks in unholiness. Why? Because they don't have a relationship, they don't have a covenant with God, and they haven't been washed in the blood. So just because someone says, well, oh, Lord, you ever speak to unbeliever, and they'll say little Christianese words like, oh, Lordy, Lordy, or oh, God, oh, Jesus, you know, and some of them bleepity bleep, and then Jesus Christ comes out, and these folks are not saved. The ones that are saved, they act like us, who strive, who want the word, who want to live, who are thankful from God calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a thankful people now. We are grateful. Why? Because now God has opened our eyes. We were headed to hell. And he pulled us from that place. He saved us from that horrible place. Look at Ephesians 2 and 3, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Look, we were out there, man, running amok. We were running with the best of them. Carrying out the desires of the body and mind. And were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Come on, we're speaking truth here tonight, aren't we? This world is dying because of that. Mankind has fallen, but Christ, hallelujah, came to seek and save those which were lost. Aren't you so blessed that you are part of that number? He could have left us out there. And there's nothing we did to deserve it, but grace and mercy. Thank you, God. Saints, people are by nature basically sinners. We know that. A holy God cannot embrace sinners any more than light can embrace darkness. Listen, you ever go into a dark room at night, say one of your bedrooms? Pitch dark in there. If you close the door behind you, it's dark. As soon as you flip the light, the darkness flees. The light comes and the darkness runs. It cannot coexist together. You can't have them together. The dark has to go. Well, in 1 John 5, look at this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So you can't say God's walking in darkness or you, no. He's holy. He's full of light. His light is brilliant. It's beyond what we can see with our natural eye. If we were to stand before him in his brilliance, we would disintegrate. That's why he told Moses, don't look at me. You will die the moment you look at me. Moses had a turn, and all he saw was the train of his robe. Man, look at this. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. See, this is where we can put our heart in check. This is a heart check. You still out there doing the things that God delivered you from, still participating in things that you shouldn't be, and we're saying that he's our Savior? Ouch. This is a big owie, isn't it? This is where God puts us in check. So, okay, come on. I'm working with you. I'm working with you. Let's get it right. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is why we can shake hands, embrace one another in Christ. Why? Because we know what he has done in our life. I look at you, my sister. I look at you, my brother. I look at us like we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I never knew you guys in my BC years. Come on. I didn't. Maybe one of you I had an acquaintance at one time only. But I didn't know you guys. And I would have never hugged you, praise the Lord. I would say, what up? No. Look at this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from what? I'm going to cleanse you all this, but there's some over here. Mm-mm. No, you're falling short in this area. I'll do all this, but there's still some spots here that, I'm sorry. That's not what the Bible says. All means what? All. From all sin. If we say we have no sin, now this is where he puts our heart in check. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. No, I'm not a liar. I don't think of lustful things. Oh man, you know what? I got it all together. You a lie? And it comes from the pit. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark, but we're pressing toward the mark. And that right there, God understands and he sees our failures and frailties, yet he still chose to love us. Now, there's provision. If we do hiccup or fumble the ball, there is provision. Look at this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. So be careful. For hundreds of years, saints, The Jews sacrificed animals to God in order to maintain a right relationship with him. The sacrifices reminded them that sin has consequences and that only spilled blood would be enough to cover the people's sins. So it was a temporary covering in the Old Testament. Yet even that wasn't God's complete plan. We know that. For at that proper time, he sent his son to become the final sacrifice. Aren't you so blessed that God had us in mind? Even those in the Old Testament, remember I just shared, he went down and he freed them. They were just in a holding tank. For those of you who have been incarcerated before you go to jail, there's a holding tank, isn't there? Aren't you so blessed, though, if someone says, you know what, I'm going to bail them out. I'm going to pay for their bail. So here comes the officer. He opens the door. You're free to go. Your bail has been taken care of. What? Come on. That rarely happens in the natural world, does it? But that's what God did. Jesus came and he opened up the door. We were held to bondage of sin. And we were headed to a fiery place and he set us free. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Man, I am so thankful for God. Christians can respect other beliefs and religions. We do. But we must hold firmly to the three beliefs stated above that we mentioned. There are no three gods. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one God. And he chose to manifest himself in the days that we live in. So he was Father in creation. He's the Son. Whoo! Thank you, God. The Son and reconciliation and salvation. And the Holy Spirit is walking in the believer. Isn't that something? Jesus was there for redemption. The Father in creation. And the Holy Ghost living inside you. All three are what? One. Thank you, God. It's not about, oh, are you a oneness believer? Or are you a Trinitarian believer? No. I say, no. God is the Father of creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost living inside me. Can I get an amen? Come on, that's all that needs to be said. Don't try to figure it out. That's what God has done. Thank you, God. Although some people will kick you out of their church. Oh, man, here you go. Three-headed God lover. What? We just read in the prior chapter that God chose to manifest himself through Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So, although Christianity may appear narrow or intolerant, it is willing to embrace everyone who believes. There is only one God and there is only one mediator, that mediator gave himself as a ransom. And he paid the price. Jesus paid the price. Oh yeah, it says right here in the Word. Right up here, look at this. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It was his blood that ran. In other words, it bought us back. Let me just, in layman's terms, let's just say you had a child. You went down to Mexico. You know, you were there having a great time. And then some kidnappers came. And they kidnapped your kid. And now they're saying, you want your kid back? It's going to cost you. You got $40,000, $50,000. How much does your son mean to you? Well, guess what? We were all headed to hell. And Jesus came and paid the price. He said, you know what? I got it. I'm going to ransom myself for them. Man, come on. You got to get this tonight. He came and died and paid the penalty of sin on our behalf. We were headed to that place, and yet Jesus came. Hallelujah, to save us. Thank you, God. See, there's really nothing more to do but to accept it and believe it, what he did for us. The gospel invitation is to believe and that Jesus Christ is the center of all things, the whole Bible. You know what I heard today? I heard today, I was listening to a little bit of True News. You know what I heard today? This multi-million dollar, is called the Bible Museum in New York. Well, they sent someone there to before they, you know, promoted it. And nowhere in that whole entire $1 million. And it supposedly these evangelicals are the ones that paid for it all. The government didn't pay for it. Nowhere is the mention of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. The majority of it is Judaism. And oh, I'm telling you, and then they showed, you know, Nazareth, nowhere mentioned about Jesus. He came from Nazareth. Yeah, they thoroughly fixed it. So then they interviewed the guy who spent millions of dollars. Well, we just want to make sure that it's going to be open to everyone, and we're not going to promote a certain type of denomination or anything, but they hid Jesus from this multi-million dollar Bible museum. I will not go there. That's blasphemous. It's like, what are you afraid of? Yeah, why even do it? The whole book from Genesis to Revelation is about Jesus. It's the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, and he's not even mentioned. He's not the focal point. So it's like, wow, Lord. It's like, really, God? Wow. How does that work? Believing in something or someone other than Jesus may be faith, but it is not the Christian faith. Because we just read, there's only one way, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so in this Bible museum, you won't find anything proclaiming this right up here. Let's go to the next clip. That if you confess with your mouth, Romans 10:9, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, what? Unto salvation. Next verse. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Aren't you so blessed when you proclaim God? You're not ashamed of Jesus. You should never be ashamed. He says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you in front of my Father. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. And there's only one saving name, and that name is Jesus. Thank you, God. So let's go now to verse 7. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Saints, Paul had been chosen as a preacher. Remember, he was a slayer of Christians. And God took that same zeal and turned it for God's glory. Look at you. Come on. Some of you ran with the best of them. Man, some of you was conniving, running, cheating, man, and you had a zeal about it. Man, I scored tonight and was happy about your sin, happy about my sin. But then when God saved us, he took that same characteristics that we had for evil, and now we're pursuing which is good and holy and right and righteous. So Paul, he had the same nature as us. See, here's one thing that God did. He winked at our ignorance. Man, I can't wait until when the time comes, because he already saw when that time came, how your life was going to bring him glory. When you were deep in your sin. Come on, we were caught up in that, in darkness, and how he delivered us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He operated with a sense of divine commission. He had been given the special privilege of teaching the Gentiles about faith and truth. This is Paul. This was the absolute truth, a point made not for Timothy's sake, but for the church in Ephesus. But one of the things that Paul proclaimed, and this is why we need to be no different, is right up here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, which is us, meaning Gentiles. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And you know what just means? Just as if you never sinned. That's how God looks at you. He looks down at you. The Bible says that he casted our sins from the east to the west. He remembers our sins no more. What? Yeah, that's what he said. So when God looks down, all he sees is the blood. All he sees is the blood. You know why? Because Jesus, he was our mediator. So he, in other words, he was our attorney in fact. He came and pleaded our case. He said, I died for them. So all their sins are now buried with me. And so, Lord, look hard and deep. All their sins are covered by the blood. And guess what? It's a continual covering. As long as we're in this body of flesh, we need his covering, don't we? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. This is why Jesus had to go in to the mercy seat and he sprinkled his own blood. He was the Melchizedek. He was the high priest. See, man would have had to go in there and sprinkle animals' blood. It was temporary, but Jesus had to go into the Holy of Holies, and he sprinkled his own blood. Hallelujah. Come on, man. You ought to be excited about that. Come on. I got one clapping only. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Look at what it says in Ephesians 3 and 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You and I, until Jesus comes, we're never going to know everything about him. It's unsearchable. I mean, we go from faith to faith, glory to glory, but guess what? We just know a smidgen about him. And none of us arrive, and we never will until he comes. Until he arrives, then we will have arrived with him, through him, because it's all about him. You can't take any glory in this. None of us can. Can I get an amen? And so look at this. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's a mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. See, all these things were hidden. We didn't see that. None of us saw this. Come on. Come on, you remember when you was in your party days and you're out there in your BC years? Did you know anything about this? It was hidden. Yet it was still there. But in God's perfect will and timing, He brought you into the saving knowledge. Hallelujah. Man, this is why I'm in awe of God. I don't care if there's a few of us here tonight. I'm preaching like if it was all filled up, because I know that there's angels sitting in these seats too. I'm going to preach with passion because I'm in love with the Savior. I'm in love with Jesus. So let's go now to the last verse that we're going to expound on tonight in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. I desire, therefore, the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Saints, continuing the theme of prayer, Paul focused on public worship in the church. Prayer in the congregation during this time frame was given by men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God. That may appear somewhat unusual, but it was, in fact, the accepted way of prayer among Jews and the early Christians. In Old Testament times, prayers were made with the face pointed toward heaven and palms turned upward with hands outstretched. This conveyed supplication and longing for God's blessing. So they had a way of doing things back then. And quite often, saints, hands were used symbolically to show the humble attitude of the person praying. But these men who prayed needed holy hands. In other words, they had to be clean before God. So they did their ceremonial duties as priests and Levites and believers of the one God in the Old Testament. In Timothy's context, the outward forms of prayer needed to be authenticated by the absence of anger and controversy. So it applies today. How can you or I come into a place of worship and you're hating your brother or your sister? You haven't forgiven your brother and sister. You're still bitter about what was done to you, maybe as a child, or what your parents said about you, that still you're walking with that condemnation. How can you worship a God and you're walking around, don, 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 don? How can you? When you know what Christ has done, man, you worship the King. Thank you, God. Thank you for allowing me, Lord, to see your grace and your love and your mercy, that you have freed me from the bondages of sin, that I can have a heart to worship and praise and glorify you and magnify you. And thank you. Thank you for saving me. Man. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. When I attended North Park Apostolic Church, there was a Deacon Jumper. He's gone on to be with the Lord. But man, he used to sit in one of these chairs, because the way they sat, the preacher was preaching, and then the pastors and the elders would sit behind on the stage, right? And every time one of the pastors would hit something, old Deacon Jumper, he was old. He was about maybe in his 80s when I was going back there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Man, I'm telling you, man, that's where I got. I thank you. Man, you know what? He was excited when they were hitting the points on the Word of God. He was thankful what God has done for him. We ought to be thankful what God has done for us. Can I get an amen? Come on, this is a time to give God praise and glory in the house. Come on. Thank you, Lord. And I'll never forget this one other minister. His name was Minister Reeder. Every time one of the preachers or Bishop Trout would be hitting on sin, he would say, "Watch yourself, preacher." You know, I mean, it was loud. It echoed in the whole church. It was kind of like, you know, a little fun gesture. Until an evangelist came. He was a guest. And he was hitting some stuff. And Minister Reeder says, "Watch yourself, preacher." He turned her head and says, "What? You watch yourself." And we were all, I almost fell off my seat. It boomeranged back on him on that one. But it was all fun and games. You know, I mean, you could have that kind of relationship, especially back there, you know, at an apostolic church. Yeah, hoop and holler. Man, you know, one of these, man, you'd be running around, man. It was like, that's what they do. And there's nothing wrong with that. I told you, you know what? You can run down these aisles. Just don't trip and fall. Ain't nothing wrong with that. When the Holy Ghost get a hold of you, move. Don't just there tapping your feet. Get up and move. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. But one of the things that they were taught is that when you're exalting the Lord and when you're worshiping God, is to believe God. Don't doubt. Listen, when you're praying, don't doubt. If there's a petition you're lifting, don't doubt. If you're asking God to save someone, don't doubt. Believe that God's going to reach them one day. And you know what I love about it? He does it when you're not looking, because he don't want you to get the glory. He says in his word, I'm not going to share my glory with any man. So you lift up your petitions, let it all be made known unto him. And you leave it there. Oh, God, oh, God. And one day, what? You got saved? Praise God, I've been praying for you. You and a whole bunch of other folks. You can't take all the glory. Look at James 1 and 6, and we're closing. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven, tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, saints, Paul's concern indicates that the spiritual life of the Ephesian church and all the other churches was being undermined by ineffective prayers and divisive teaching. So let us always put our heart in check, amen? Let us keep walk worthy of the call. Don't let the enemy dupe you. Believe God for all things. Believe what he has done in your life and what he's doing in your life and what he's about to do in your life. And thank God that we can preach the word of God the night before Thanksgiving. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that this message will get out through the highways and the byways. Lord, that you would use, Lord, the technology of the day, the internet, the airwaves. And Lord, that this message will not come back void. Lord, I pray, Lord, that it would not fall on deaf ears, but someone that you are calling to be saved will somehow intersect and have this message cross their paths one way or the other. And that you would give men and women an opportunity to grow in their faith and maybe an unbeliever to be saved. And so, Father, we thank you for tonight. And I'm praying for that person who don't know you. If that person maybe knows about you but never entered into a relationship with you and has never established a covenant with you, I'm going to ask that you would pray this simple prayer. That God would do a supernatural thing in your heart. And it's by faith. If you're believing that God is calling you right now, he's stirring something up in your heart, pray this prayer with me. The prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that'll save you. Prayer is just a tool given to sinful mankind here on earth to communicate with the holy God. So pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.